Welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio's Ice to Shorts Winter Sports, brought to you by the fine folks at Bud Light. Hello to everyone that's following along on Facebook Live, the YouTube channel, and Twitter. And hello to everyone listening in the future, wherever you like to listen, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Amazon, and most especially the iHeartRadio app. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review the shows. It helps us out. This is Philly Mike. We're here to talk about the end of the Sixers and Flyers season with my partner in crime, big time Reggie, the Sacterisk, Chris Sack. How you doing, my man?
The Phillies are off tonight, and today is the last day of Flyers season. So I am at peace. I have Zen in my life right now. Fantastic. I'll be ready to rock with the Phillies again on Tuesday for sure.
So we got this isn't a playoff preview for the Sixers, but we're kind of winding down to that. We wanted to get at least let you get your last words on the Flyers season, since we've got an NFL schedule release this week on Wednesday. We're going to be hitting that hard on Thursday. Yeah. I know you might not be there, but man, this Flyers season's wrapping up just in time for you, because you've got the greatest new baseball show in Philadelphia with Bud Light Baseball Brunch every Sunday morning at 11. But first, before we get to that, and before you have your piece with the Flyers, let's just take care of some of our very fine friends of the program. Number one, of course, Mike Dorenzi and all the fine folks at Bud Light for making this happen, sponsoring Bud Light Baseball Brunch, Green Legion Radio, and of course, our tailgate party. So we'll mention that too at the end before we go. State's got Stateside Vodka and Stateside Bourbon. I think, Zach, what do you think about approaching a Stateside to have me being their primary spokesperson for Stateside Bourbon?
I don't think there's anybody that's better suited for that role than you, because listen, I think we have legs with the nickname Bourbon Diaz, no doubt about it.
new to the team, Menzinger Construction Services. They're a big sponsor for
and they're hiring
Baseball Brunch, and they're hiring. Yeah. Yes, they are. Everyone's hiring, but like, listen, this is a solid job.
It's a trade
construction outfit. Yep. Everyone's always doing kitchens, remodels, decks, bathrooms, additions, all the works right there. I don't have the contact number.
And it's not exclusive. I could bring it up. It's not exclusive to just the Philadelphia area. They do the Delaware Valley. They do New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland. So they're all over the place. I don't know exactly where their office locations are at, but I'll bring up the website and the phone number. It's on my one of my live reads that I do every week for Baseball Brunch.
Let me see if I got this right. It's mcsinc-pa.com. Is that what it is?
Let's see here.
Or mcsinc-pa.com. One of those two.
Okay. So for MCS Construction, you can go to their website, www.mcsinc-pa.com, or you can call them at 484-202-3656.
There you go. You'll never not have a job with MCS, Menzinger Construction Services. Of course, City Fitness, all the locations throughout the city. Our good friend Ken Davies running that. Echelon Health and Fitness out your way, Sack, across the bridge with our buddy Quinn. All the Cavs locations, Cavs Rittenhouse, University City, as well as the newly opened Cavs River Deck. You haven't made it out there yet, right?
We haven't. We have not been down to the River Deck yet. I cannot wait. It's gonna be great, man. It's always fun when we go out after we record. Yeah. That'll be fun coming up. But unfortunately, I won't be on this week's show. So hopefully, you guys will wait for me a couple weeks.
We'll wait for you, I think, or we'll just go without you and talk about you behind your back, like good friends do. Of course, our friends at Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia, they are hiring to all Chickies and Pete's locations. Our friends Nexip, the safest way to drink hands free, nexip.com, and of course, the lovely ladies of Delilah's. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, I thought, hey, let's get Sack to put a bow on the Flyers. We don't need to dig any holes deeper. They've had a rough couple of months, but they started off pretty well. So we'll get that. Then we're going to talk a little bit about NBA, and then we're going to get out of here for the night. Just a little warm up. Get Tanked Happy Hour will be tomorrow, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Green Legion Radio will be Thursday, our NFL schedule release show, and then Baseball Brunch coming up Sunday at the last week at Live Casino Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, this is the last one. They've been fantastic to us. We had a great crowd on Mother's Day weekend. It was our biggest one that we've had. Listen, it's not like people are coming down, but it was great because Murph was interacting with people, and you know they always continue to tell him, "Hey, man, we miss you on TV," and you know, so it's they've been great to us. We've had a lot of fun down there. I over the last couple weeks being in the sports book, I've pulled in $870 of winnings the last 2 weeks.
Wow!
So yeah, man, you know, but I'm riding a hot hand. So
is that all baseball bets?
Yes. I had a 5-team parlay, but three of them were live bets, and then I added in the A's and the Dodgers 2 weeks ago, and then yesterday I took my $290 that you know combined. I had 100 and 190. Put that down on a 3-team parlay yesterday. It was pretty much a snooze fest. It was fantastic. Hit for $690. So we're playing with house money right now, and the wife is ecstatic.
Nice. Oh well, you're not supposed to tell her. Now she's going to say, like, hey, now we can get that whatever new dishwasher or something like
she's
that.
She's not worried about that crap, man. My bonus check comes in this Friday. So, like, she'll take that and she'll play with that. But this money's from me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Or spend it towards your season ticket. Speaking of season tickets,
yes,
you are a Flyer season ticket holder.
Yes.
I have a good friend of mine, my buddy Kev. He just signed up for a 22-game package or a 21-game package.
Oh, he got the half-season ticket plan, too.
Yep, he did. They sold the hell out of him. They promised him all the frills and the super-exclusive clubs and whatever.
Is that Kevin McCloskey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to ask him where he's sitting at. I might upgrade my seats from where I got him last year. So
I think, well, he bought 4 tickets. I think he's kind of behind a goal upstairs.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, you know, this NHL season, it started so prompt. They started off the season well. Then sometime around, I don't know, February or March or something, I guess right when they got hit with their COVID stuff, it just like completely fell apart. Give us your eulogy or your final thoughts on this Flyer season so we can move on from it forever.
Yeah, listen, this season was rough. I think we all came off of last year and the Flyers were red hot at the end of the regular season, winners of 9 in a row. And then they lost to the Bruins on that Tuesday night right before COVID hit our country. I don't want to say hit the world because it had already hit in other places beforehand, but our country was shut down right after that. They went into the bubble and then they had a few games against the other top teams in the you know, in the Eastern Conference, and they claimed the one seed, and then you know, Montreal and the Islanders played us tough, and we started out the season, we were playing really well. I don't want to use COVID as an excuse. You know, I coming from somebody that's had it and that's had complications from it, I understand. You know, and I couldn't imagine trying to be a professional athlete doing what these guys are doing. But nonetheless, it's not an excuse for how this season has spiraled completely out of control. And in a lot of ways, you know, you sit there and you look at it as a fan and, you know, how this got really bad. And, you know, I read a quote earlier from Claude Giroux that said, you know, it was tough because they didn't really have practice time. In a lot of ways, when you miss 2 weeks in a condensed season and then you're trying to make up 2 weeks worth of games, you know, like they had stretches where they were playing 5 games in 7 nights, and that's hockey. You know, like playing 5 games in 7 nights is difficult for any athlete to do, especially for a hockey player. This season just didn't go exactly how any of us thought it would, and whether it was bound for a Stanley Cup or a playoff appearance or this like we would have been happy with getting into the playoffs and winning a round and giving ourselves a shot, but none of us saw what was going to happen. A lot of the young players took steps back this year. You know, like I want to say that Carter Hart is 22 years old and he's going to be 23 in August and you're going into next season. But next season is a huge year for him and for us as a franchise, because if this right here is a precursor for what the future is with Carter Hart, we might be in trouble, you know, thinking that we were going to have our goaltender of the future. So we got to hope that he can get himself right it and correct it both mentally and physically going into the next season. Ivan Provorov, as well as he has played in a lot of eyes and in my eyes too, he's taken steps back. Travis Konechny, Kevin Hayes has disappeared at times this season. It's just, you know, the defense as a whole has just completely collapsed. And I think we know now what we have to do. Like there's younger players that are here that you still have hope for the future. And, you know, Cam York has come up and played the last few games, former first round pick on the defensive side of the puck. And, you know, that would be awesome if we can, you know, hit some things. And Joel Farabee scored goal number 18 tonight. So, but Diaz, it's one of those things, man, where this team has relied on its youth coming up through the system and meshing with its veterans. And it's just some of the veterans haven't lived up to their standards this year. And some of the youngsters that have played well previously, Sanheim, Konechny, Hart, Myers, Provorov, they've taken steps back. And you know, where this ship is going to head next year is make or break. And Chuck Fletcher has to make a couple really big moves this offseason to right this ship.
So you're right. I agree with all that. You know, I follow the team. I don't know. I don't know the rest of the league or anything like that. But it just looked like, well, I don't even say they played without heart, because they did once they're down two goals. It's like they couldn't get out of the gates fast enough. And then once they got to the second period, you know, they would come back and, you know, maybe tie or whatever. And the goalkeeping defense, you know, errors, mental errors, you know, I don't know if there's a quick fix. This is how I feel about them. They're at a very similar situation or the lack of real success and interest is where the Sixers were after 2012. You know, they made this fake run to, you know, they beat Chicago in that first round.
That was phony and fraudulent.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Yeah. It's still great accounts. You know, it's fun. Like, and then they took Boston to seven the next round. So, you know, like, good for them. Like, it's good. But they thought they were a player away and the Bynum thing, and that blew up. They traded away all their youth and a ton of picks to make that happen. And Bynum never played. And yeah, and it was just like, man, like, we have, you know, 10 years of just like irrelevance and just not a whole lot of hope. And coming into this year, there was a lot of hope. All those young guys you just mentioned, Carter Hart, the goalie of franchise goalie for the next decade and a half at least, and it just kind of blew up. So you got to make changes. But like, what are those changes? You know, for me, trading away, getting rid of Ghost doesn't really change anything. Like, there's got to be some big. It's just the same guys, and we're on the same thing over and over here. Like, I feel like someone needs a good kick in the butt. And, you know, they said, like we just talked about before, Chuck Fletcher said five times that AV is staying with the team. They're not firing the coach. They're not putting this season on the coach.
Nor should they.
And they're right. And they're saying, you know, we got to make some changes, but like, and big changes. But what does that mean? Like, you know me, I'm like, well, just trade Giroux, trade Voracek, get some young pieces, even if they're like, just move on from that and start anew with this young core. The young guys have had two or three seasons, so that, you know, I don't know how young they're considered anymore, but both of those guys have movement clauses in their contract. Like, they're not going to go anywhere, and neither of them really want to go anywhere, right?
Well, I don't. I know Giroux has 1 year left on his deal, and he has a no movement clause. I don't envision Giroux going anywhere, even after next year, to be honest with you. I think at that point they're going to extend G to keep him in a Flyers uniform. Now, obviously, it's not going to be a 7-year, $8 million a year cap hit. I think at that point it might be a 2 or 3 year deal, $4.5-5 million cap hit. You know, but you know, he wants to be here as much as people want to move Giroux. And as much as people go, oh, well, you know, what kind of a competitor is he if he doesn't want to compete for the cup? He's been here. He has competed for the cup. He wants to finish the job. He wants to see it through. You know, as much as, like, I know you give him a hard time, but you got to respect the guy that wants to play his entire career someplace. I mean, he can go ahead and ring chase and hop on a team like the Penguins, and that would be unbelievable.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, seriously, though. Yeah. But, like, you could do something like that if you want to, or you can stay someplace where you truly believe it. And Giroux, we had this argument a couple weeks ago, and I know a lot of times you're just trying to get my, you know, get me going and whatnot.
Well, like, no, that doesn't sound like
Giroux isn't the biggest issue on this team. It's just like, there's so many things that have gone awry and that are wrong with this team. And you got to hope that, you know, with the Seattle Kraken starting next season and with the expansion draft, that you can unload one of these contracts, whether it, in my opinion, Kevin Hayes, Voracek, or Couturier, which is the more popular one amongst fans that where people want to see. Not Couturier, I'm sorry, JVR.
Okay, I was going to say.
Coots has a team-friendly deal for the next year or two. Couturier is fine. Team MVP for third year in a row, voted on by the Flyers alumni. So Couturier is not going anywhere. JVR is the one contract where fans are like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, we like JVR. JVR is a good dude, a classy guy, but JVR's got to go. And if you can unload one of those contracts, then you have money to where you can go out and you can spend in the free agent market this offseason and get the defenseman that you truly need. They need to make a move like they did 12 years ago when they made that draft night trade for Chris Pronger. You need to make a franchise-altering move like that, and it has to happen on the defensive side of the puck. I think if you get a stalwart defenseman back there on the blue line and you surround him with these young kids, everything comes together, just like that team did. I mean, but, you know, you had Kimo and, you know, Braden Coburn and Matt Carl, but someone's going to mesh with a guy like that, and that's what you need. You need stability on the back line. The Flyers, Elliott and Carter, were two of the worst goaltenders in the league this year.
Yeah. Now,
is that because – and last year, they were two of the best. They were one of the best tandems in the league last year. Is that because they both took humongous steps back, or is that the team in front of them? And that's the structure that's not there right now because they don't have the defensive structure in front of them. So I want to think that they're going to look at getting Carter Hart healthy. They're looking at getting him right with his mind in the offseason, but you have to support him. And if you do that with a guy that can go back there and solidify your defense, that's the number one move. And I saw on the run sheet, you know, how you added in Jack Eichel. And listen, I like Eichel, okay? But he's never won anything. And for as great as he is as an individual talent, I don't think he's even been to the playoffs. And, you know, and we've gotten into this argument, you know, before and, you know, like a couple weeks ago, and I said with like Connor McDavid, like as great of a player as he's been, he's never done anything in the playoffs. I think they won one round in the playoffs in his time there. Jack Eichel has never been in the playoffs in Buffalo. So like you got to be prepared, and the Flyers have a farm system to where they can unload young talent to get him. And I wouldn't mind seeing him here. It would be fantastic to have, you know, right down the middle, Couturier and Jack Eichel and Kevin Hayes, if Kevin Hayes sticks, because you got to build from the middle in hockey. But man, Chuck Fletcher has his work cut out for him. And the fact that I had to listen to Dave Scott say last week, the guy that is apparently the face of the Flyers, which we barely see him, you know, he's the head of Comcast and he comes out maybe once a year. Jeff Lurie comes out more times than this guy does. But you know, this guy's saying that they don't need to blow things up. And to an extent, I agree. But sometimes in order to take shots and to become better, you have to at least blow something up. And something on this team has to be blown up this offseason to appease to the fans and appease to the fact that we're no longer going to solidify the Flyers around this friggin' mascot Gritty, which everybody is just like, oh my God, like, dude, I'm sick and tired of Gritty. Like, Gritty's been fantastic the last few years, but I need a team that's actually going to compete and going to, you know, go into the playoffs and have a shot winning the Stanley Cup. And us fans, we deserve it. This last decade has been rough. We've had some good stretches in the regular season. We've made some fun runs into the playoffs, but when you get there, you have no shot, really.
Right. Yeah.
So like, you know, we need to do something. We need to shake this up.
I think, I have two thoughts on what you just said. First off, I think that Flyers fan, I don't know what happened. You know, Zach, you and I, you know, we didn't know each other 5 years ago. I mean, we tailgated together and you enjoyed some of my singing on bus rides, but we never like hung out or actually like talked about this stuff. But you know,
I've seen you hanging out by the pool someplace, blowing up about the process.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, yeah. That was an epic. That was an epic rant. That was 2015. Yeah, and 80% of that came true. 20% of that was just BS. That was completely wrong. But the one thing, and I say this all the time, I am jealous of the Flyers fandom or the support that the Flyers fans give the team in the face of just constant mediocrity for the last decade. And they've had good teams before that. You know, that 2010 run was great, but that was 11 years ago. You know, you just think of that, like going back to 2009, 11 years before that was 1999. Like it's just, it's been a really long time. And I think, I don't want to say the tide's turning. I don't want anyone not to be a fan, but I think it's showing with your wallet. You know, they're giving away tickets tonight at the last game if you get your shot. Ticket prices are coming down to try and get people back in the building where they were always sold out. I mean, you know, even like Eagles playoff game, my one buddy from Pittsburgh, he was went to school for journalism, and in the 90s when that Ray Rhodes playoff game, it was going to be blacked out until the last weekend, until like Miller Lite bought the last 3,000 seats or something. Like, so like even the Eagles, this is an Eagles town. We all agree it's an Eagles town. They were having problems selling playoff tickets. So, you know, but the Flyers have always been sold out. The only way to do it is kind of like with your wallets and that just brings the team down farther in the short term, because, you know, the building isn't as full. It's not a lot of enthusiasm, and that's no fun either. But it's, you know, I don't know, like the blowing it up, and we things need to be changed. Obviously, they need a stud defenseman, like you say, Chris Pronger. Would you be concerned? I mean, it would help. It would help the team, obviously. But would you concern that would be, that's like a whole lot of weight to put on one guy's shoulders, whether as good or as bad, you know, a casual fan like me, you know, to put a lot of weight comparatively, like Tobias Harris, very good player. We traded like 3 first round picks for him, you know, 2 and Landry Shamet and, you know, some other, like a lot for him. And then we, to keep him around, we had to sign him to like a near max deal. You're like, man, like it's probably a bad move. But now, you know, of course, fans are like, well, listen, if he's the highest paid player on the team, we need him to show up. And when he doesn't, there's a lot of boot. Now, the fans have been a little more easy on Tobias this year. But, you know, I mean, that's like a normal reaction. And I would think if we traded, I don't know, 3 guys, I mean, you're going to have to give up something. They do a farm system kids.
One of the better farm systems in the league.
Yeah, so like if they give up a first round pick and 3 players in the minors, I'm making this up, for like the best defenseman, you know, an all-star level defenseman, is that really going to change what's going on with this team? I mean, you know.
Listen, I've seen, like over the last 15 years, Diaz, like things can change real fast. Now, it's hard to do it in the salary cap world. It's hard to do it when the salary cap doesn't move up. Okay, so like last year, like going in this year, it was a flat cap. So it didn't go up, it didn't go down, but you didn't get more money added onto the percentage that you were expecting to have pre-pandemic. So the thing is, like, you know, the Flyers had the worst record in the league in 06-07. And then after that season, they went out and they traded for the contractual rights before they hit free agency. They got Kimmo Timonen and they got Scott Hartnell. And then the next thing you know, they brought in Jason Smith, a defenseman from Edmonton. He was the captain of the team, and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals the following year. You know, like, and then, you know, they kind of tended to blow things up after 09, and then that's when they brought in Chris Pronger, and then you're in the Stanley Cup Finals a year after you trade for him. So things can change. It just depends on the player that you bring in, especially if you bring in a guy like that has – this is not a knock on anybody that's on the team as far as their leadership qualities, but, you know – what I'm saying is sometimes when you bring in that guy, it changes up the dynamic in the room. Chris Pronger had been a captain for a Stanley Cup final team. And when he came in, he was the A, and he was behind Mike Richards, who was wearing the C. Didn't mean that Chris Pronger couldn't impose his leadership skills. It just meant that he wasn't wearing the letter, which is okay. You can go in there and impose your leadership skills. And that's what he did. And he helped that team get to a Stanley Cup final. That team didn't really, like, once Pronger got hurt, that's where the whole franchise started to falter.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was just like, you know, it just absolutely sucked, because, like, you were expecting, like, when he signed here, when you traded for him, he signed a 7-year deal. He was supposed to take you into 2015, 2016. And you know, we only got a couple years out of him. So
are we still paying him?
No, that's okay. Not.
I thought it was a long drawn out, like Brzgalov type thing.
Yeah, when Hextall took over, he traded away his contractual rights to the Phoenix Coyotes. So like it wasn't like when you put someone on long term injured reserve, that money doesn't count towards your salary cap. But like, you can't do it until like right before the season where you put him on LTIR. So it was funny because like you knew Pronger wasn't playing, so you could rely on the fact you would have that cap space. But answering Russ's question,
yeah, I want to. Yeah. That's a good
last time we talked.
Yeah, so who will be left unprotected in the expansion draft?
Yeah, I don't know if Russ was on when I addressed it earlier, but JVR is the one guy that everybody wants us to not protect for the expansion draft. You know, there's a couple other guys that we could go out and we could do that with. I don't envision them doing that with Kevin Hayes, but I think JVR and Jake Voracek would be up there. As far as guys that they would leave out there, Shane Gostisbehere, we could also do, but James Van Riemsdyk is going to be the one that they leave out there unprotected. It's pretty much ironclad. You can see it in his face. You know, it's unfortunate for him and his family because they do enjoy being here. They love being here. You know, JVR was drafted here and he spent a good portion of his career here before they traded him away for Luke Shen. But unfortunately that's just not the case. So we'll see how things go. Russ, yes, it is his contract. That's the reason why. And as they should. I mean, you know, you can the Flyers are loaded right now with young wingers in the system. Where they are lacking right now is on the defensive side of the puck and up the middle to an extent. I mean, Claude Giroux was supposed to be a winger during this point in his career. Because the fact that Nolan Patrick has been a bust, they've had to put Giroux back into being a center again. And, you know, Giroux has performed well there. You know, he's played with a lot of young guys this season, but, you know, the fact that they had to move him back to center, that really didn't help anything. So JVR being a winger is the type of guy, so you can expect JVR, Jake Voracek, they're the top two that you could see being left out for expansion draft. But JVR to me with the contract length, because Voracek has 2 years left and I think JVR has 4 years left and, you know, they're both relatively around the same cap hit. And Voracek does more. He's a better player than JVR is. You can pick up at a production out of a winger than you could, you know, if you left a center or one of your defensemen out there for the expansion draft.
My last question for the Flyers, and then we'll talk some Sixers here. Is it time for these for the Comcast Spectacor to sell the team?
Listen, they're not going to sell the team. It's just like with anything else in sports. I mean, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of times where you're like, oh man, I want him to sell the team. I want him to sell the team. Like, really, it takes like earth shattering issues. Like, you know, Donald Sterling had the Clippers for what, 30 years? And then those tapes came out and he was a racist and he had to sell the team. Like, you know,
yeah, sports, let's hope that there's nothing like that going on.
That's what I'm
there.
Saying, though. Like, you know, sports franchises do not just go up for sale. And Comcast owns the world here, right? I mean, yeah. they own the arena, they own, you know, Comcast Sportsnet or, you know, NBC Sports Philadelphia. They have the two biggest buildings in the city. Like, they're not going anywhere. The problem is, and I liked what you put on the run sheet about Ed Snyder, is the fact that there's nobody really with a face to this franchise that you can point the finger at and be like, get this right. Like, you want to say it's Dave Scott, but is it really Dave Scott? I see Dave Scott, like I said, once a year. Andy McPhail showed up more than Dave Scott shows up for the, you know, for the Flyers. And it's just, it's disgusting in a lot of ways. You know, you want the owner to get involved, and a lot of ways you want the owner just you never want to hear from him in certain right. sports. But in this town, in this city, we want to hold our owners accountable. We do it with Jeffrey Lurie. The guy won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, and we've been torching him, you know, about his draft picks the last couple of years, and not firing Howie, and how it was unfair that he fired Doug. Like, he's getting scrutiny. How about John Middleton? I mean, I've ripped that guy limb from limb, but he's actually, you know, brought in a guy like Joe Girardi and Dave Dombrowski and, you know, Sam Folds now the general manager, and not Matt Klentak, and he fifth highest payroll in baseball. It's not like the Phillies aren't spending money, you know, but we have a face to sit there and say, hey, Middleton, fix this. Josh Harris, we did that. You did that after last season. no, sell the franchise. It's nothing but Colangelo's clan and these guys and all that stuff. And what do? They go out and they get the top head coach and they get the top executive on the market, you know, and they make changes. And now they're the number one seed in the NBA or in the Eastern Conference, and they have a legit shot to get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. So, like, sometimes you need someone to sit there and hold them accountable, and that's what the Flyers fans are looking to do right now over the last couple of weeks, how they haven't been going to the arena. Like, dude, my last game there a couple of weeks ago, Diaz, I'll tell you what, man, there was not a lot of people there. Not a lot of people. There was a lot of empty seats where it says, please sit here, a lot. If that doesn't speak to the ownership group, when you can't even get 3,000 fans into the stands, when you're in a pandemic, when you're used to getting 20,000, that right there needs to speak to your ownership group.
Yeah, I mean, it's the name of the game. You gotta. Everyone's dying to get back to games anyway, and you can't put asses in
seats.
Dude,
like, did you see Atlanta this weekend?
Yeah.
Dude, packed every night. So, like, if you opened up the gates right now for a Sixers game or a Sixers playoff game, you're getting 20,000 fans in there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, but I guarantee you, if you had full capacity for the Flyers, you're not getting full capacity here because no one wants to pay for this crap.
Yeah, and luckily it's all over. On the same news, today the union announced that they will be full capacity in June.
Yeah.
So their first game, I read the column, not just the headline. The first game is until June 23rd because there's some sort of break for European championships.
Always. Soccer's
so,
weird, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's all weird. So because it's all international and all these different leagues going all over the place. But yeah, but still, that's good. I mean, June 23rd, they're going to have the whatever it is, 10,000, 11,000 capacity. It's a nice day. Not a nice drive to get down there, but once you're down there, it's a nice stadium. So you started on it here. Let's just talk a little Sixers.
Sixers, baby.
Let's go Sixers. It's Monday, May 10th. Magic number is now 2. So 2 more wins from the Sixers, or one loss from one win and one loss from both the Nets and the Bucks would give them the first seed. So it's really 2. Their schedule coming up here, they play Indiana tomorrow night. Indiana's playing tonight in Cleveland, so that's a back-to-back for Indiana, and they're just falling hard. They're a mess. Their coaches, they suspended their own coach, head coach. Yeah, they're a mess. Then we go to Miami on Thursday, which is a tough one, and then we play back-to-back the next day, Friday at home versus Orlando, and Sunday wrap it up versus Orlando. There's 2 Orlando games are wins.
Yeah, but just, I don't eat. I
hear you. They're
winning.
They're
on air.
They're just wins.
I don't want to see Embiid or Tobias. Let's wrap this up. Let's get the number one seed. I don't want to see them until game one of the first round in the playoffs. That's it. Let them rest because Tobias looks tired.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I don't know how they're going to do it with the back to back and whatever. Like, I would just sit the guys against Miami, come home, you know, and win the play the 2 versus Orlando. The weird thing with this, it's probably the same in other years, but there is somewhat of an extended break. The regular season wraps up on Sunday, and because the Sixers are going to have the first seed, I'm just going to say it, the Sixers are going to have the first seed. There's no jinx.
Yeah,
no, there's no but jinx. It's true with the first seed and the second seed. Definitely the first. They're going to have a week off anyway. The playoffs start the following Saturday, May 22nd, but I think the Sixers are going to start on May 23rd. The play-in game, the play-in little mini tournament, whatever, is from May 18th to the 21st. So on the 21st, that's the last night. You know, there's going to be maybe Eastern Conference, Western Conference, 18th and the 20th, 19th and the 21st.
Are they 3 game series? Or
No. So I'll go over it. I wasn't sure if you like knew the ins and outs of it. So this is the deal. Right now, if the season ended today, Boston, who we just learned Jaylen Brown's out for the year with a broken hand, Boston is the 7th seed, Charlotte's the 8, Washington, who's been surging the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a team I really don't feel like playing.
Yeah, and then Indiana is the 10th seed right now. So this is how it works. Season ends, and let's just say that that's how it ends. Boston, the 7 and 8 seed teams play. Boston and Charlotte, they play. Washington in Indiana plays. The winner of Boston versus Charlotte, they get the 7th seed. The winner of Washington, Indiana, or the loser of Washington and Indiana, they're out. So let's say Indiana loses, they're eliminated.
Oh,
Boston has the 7th seed, and then Charlotte would play Washington 1 game for the 8th seed. And that's how it's determined. Yeah, so they say the tournament is going to be from the 18th to the 21st. So that's 18th, 19th, 20th. So I'm thinking one conference will have games on the 18th and the 20th. The other conference will have them on the 19th and the 21st.
Okay.
So the you know, if the Eastern Conference is determined on the 21st, they're not going to have, let's say, Charlotte win that second game on the 21st and then go to Philly the next day and start a seven-game series. I'm sure they'll give him the one day off. I would expect,
they should. I mean, that's part of competitive advantage.
I would expect that the Bud Light baseball brunch that you and Murph will be broadcasting live on Fox Sports The Gambler on May 23rd, it also could be a pregame tailgate for a Sixers playoff game.
I mean, you know, I aim to please. Hey, maybe what we can do is we can have Quimby talk to Tallarita. Maybe me and you can do a ice to shorts after we go off air. We'll go noon to one right there, baby.
I like that. Now, what I don't like is Russ Taylor in the comments here saying, look up Charles Barkley explaining the play in the tournament. Oh, I thought you were referring to like I was looking like Charles Barkley explaining the plan. It's not that hard to go, but...
Well, I see you have on here, you know, do I like the playing game? Why or why not? Is that posed to me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pose it right back to you after I'm done. Okay. I love it.
I love it too.
I love it. I can't get enough of it. And you know why? Because I love the fact that LeBron James said last year there should be a play-in tournament. And this year, because his team is supposedly going to be in that play-in tournament, well, it's just a crap idea. Well, guess what, LeBron? I hope you guys are in that playing tournament. I would love every second of it. Like, mind you, if you're in the 7-8 matchup or, you know,
the 7-8. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Lakers Warriors.
Yeah.
7-8 matchup
would be phenomenal. I would love to see Steph Curry hit 13 three-pointers and march into the playoffs. I would love that. But I'll tell you what, it's a great idea. And it brings about more attention to the league. And really, let's be honest with ourselves, Diaz, okay? The NBA has taken a big PR hit this year. The ratings are down. We kind of know what the ideas are on this. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the players are making up their minds when they're going to play and when they're going to sit. In the national TV games, you're playing scrub A team versus scrub B team. Like, so... this right here would go a long way in getting itself back into the good graces of the general public, is my opinion. Do you like the idea of the plan?
I think it's great, and I hope that people, you know, pay attention. It'll be what, next week? It's next. Today is the 10th. The play-in tournament starts next Tuesday, the 18th. So I think it's a great idea. Hey, listen, you don't want to be a part of it. It's not just for teams that are competing, that they're trying to compete for that 10th seed, like, the 11th, 12th team in the conference trying to get into 10. It's also the battle to get above 6. And, you know, hey, listen, this is the whole thing with all these leagues here. And one of the reasons why I called last season, was an asterisk year for a basketball, for the NBA and NHL, was just because, like, part of the grind of the regular season, rolling, and then you're rolling into the playoffs, and some guys are injured, and like there's no excuses. There's no, you know, like, hey, listen, the Raptors beat the Warriors, but we all know if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were healthy, the Warriors are winning that series. I mean, is it a guarantee? I don't know. It's revisionist history here, but like it counts, and that's all part of all sports, injuries. Schedule, bad schedule, you know, matchups and who do you play. I mean, the Lakers here, if the Lakers just finished with the seventh seed, you know, they're going to have to play to get the finals. If it all ends the way it ends here, they would play Phoenix in the first round. Phoenix is going to win 50 games in a 72 game season. They're going to have to play Phoenix in the first round, get by them. And with a LeBron coming back from a high ankle sprain, then in the second round, they'd probably have to play the Clippers, and then they'd have to beat Utah. If those guys are healthy, they're great. But like, that's no, like, normally there's like a, you know, first round, I don't want to say gimme, but you know, like a Memphis or a Spurs or something like that, that they can kind of roll over in the first round, and they don't have it, which makes, on the Eastern side, we know it, like, hey, we want the Sixers to have the first seed for all the reasons, but it's like become painfully obvious here the path that both Milwaukee and Brooklyn are going to have is a hell of a lot tougher than the Sixers if we can wrap up this one seed. And I want to win all the last four games just in case a team like the Lakers made the finals or Denver, because the finals home court is with just the team with a better regular season record.
Now, so, I have a question for you, just like a quick sidebar question here. Now, you say that the Suns are going to be the,
the second seed.
Are they going to be the second seed?
Yeah.
Are they behind Utah?
They're behind Utah by two games with four games to play.
So what I don't understand is I understand all this stuff right here for Jokic for MVP. Right? That you've said it. A lot of people are saying it. Why is Chris Paul getting any more respect as far as MVP consideration? Steph Curry for MVP consideration. Luka Doncic before his ball tap the other night. MVP consideration. I don't understand where these point guards aren't getting their just due. And it's just about the dude that's been healthy all season long and doing the right things. And I know Denver has had to carry on without Jamal Murray, but those three guys, especially Chris Paul, Chris Paul's never been in the MVP category. He's always been a great player. He's Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not in that category. I don't understand. Can you explain that for me?
Well,
because Phoenix wasn't supposed to do this.
No, well, they were supposed to improve, from last year, and they did. Remember, if in the bubble they won all eight of their, the quote unquote regular season games. Chris Paul is getting MVP buzz. He is. He
just not enough for me. It's not enough.
I'm gonna be making excuses for Embiid, forever. But yeah,
I know. Listen, I agree, and you should. The most dominant player in basketball this year was Embiid.
Right. And listen, and it comes down to games played, but everyone's been hurt except for Jokic. But then again, I would always just say, is Jokic going to ever make an all defensive team? And Embiid will be a second team all defensive player until Gobert gets out of the way and he can jump up to the first.
Gobert,
team.
The guy that gave up 42 points to Ben right. Simmons.
Yeah. Well, he's going to win defensive player year again. I mean, it's just that's just what everyone is saying. But Chris Paul's getting Steph Curry. I this is how I would think that the MVP voting will break down. Jokic first, Embiid second, Giannis third, Steph fourth, and then Luka, LeBron, maybe Chris Paul, fifth. That's how it's going to finish. It is. Jokic, but see, the thing is, Jokic just had a great year. He really is. He's the point guard of their team. Everything goes through them. He's, it's not like he's unstoppable. He's just such a good passer. He sets everybody up. And he deserves the MVP. I would say that he hasn't gotten hurt because he doesn't play all that tough defense.
Is he the most unsexy MVP of all time?
I don't know how far back,
I'll bring up the MVP list. You go on to the next topic because I want to say we'll go over that in a minute. I know we want to be off at 8:45, but we could have a little bit of a 5-minute.
We'll go in here. Let's just talk about the Sixers' possible road to the finals versus their main competition in Milwaukee and Brooklyn here. If the season ends today in the play-in tournament, out of the four teams remaining, Boston, Charlotte, Washington, and Indiana, the team that I'd want to avoid as much as possible is Washington. Just Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook. I think they win the series. I'm not worried about them, but I just want to win four games and move on. Boston just lost Jaylen Brown for the season. They have no one that could stop Embiid. Charlotte, I'm not concerned with, and Indiana's a mess. So, I would like to avoid Washington, but let's just say it ended today and everything held. The Sixers' possible road to the finals would be Charlotte in the first round, and then the winner of New York, Atlanta. If it's the Knicks and they lost even one game, I would be upset. But, New York, Atlanta, and then, supposedly a Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Milwaukee right now, if the season ended today, they'd have to face Miami in the first round. That's no easy task. I mean, Jimmy Miami's Sox. Good. Yeah. I mean, when Jimmy's been on the floor, they've been good. I don't want to play them in the first round. That's a tough out. That's a tough out for any team in the first round. And then the Nets would face Boston. I don't know if Boston's going to fall without Jaylen Brown or whatever, but You know, even if Miami beat Milwaukee in the first round, in the second round, the Nets facing Miami. I mean, Miami's just a tough team. They're not scary or anything like that, but it's not going to be a four-game sweep. So it's just such a big, huge difference where, you know, the Sixers, anything less with the first round, with the first overall seed, anything less than, you know, losing in six games
in the conference finals
right. would be a big disappointment here. Going back to one of the things that you said before you look up the list of the MVPs here.
I have it right here.
Okay, but before you do, you know, so going back to your comment about LeBron and Luka actually said it before they moved up into the sixth seed about, you know, you play this whole season and then it's just like one game. It's like, well, that's right. It should be. Every game should count. You know, it's like, look at MLB. They play 162 games and the wild card is a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, so yeah, it comes down to a game. You didn't get the sixth seed. You're in the seventh seed. You've got to win two more. You've got to win one or two more games. Or you got to win one more game to get into the playoffs. Like, yeah, that's right. That's why when you don't get hurt and you play more games, it's not your fault you got hurt. That's how the cookie crumbles. You know, that's just how the season works. He's not used to it. So, you know, it's funny. Like, it comes down to one. It always comes down to one game. Your elimination game. You're just, their elimination game will come sooner. So for the, when you say unsexy, do you mean like literally unsexy, like physically gratifying? Or do you mean
honestly
like.
You think I'm going to be judging these guys?
I don't know, man.
I'm saying when you hear MVP, there's like, you know, it's like a gravitas. It's just like when you hear these names, it's all of them are first ballot Hall of Famers. Like Jokic, he's 26 years old. I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, like Giannis, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Derrick Rose. He's not going to go into the Hall.
He's the only one that won't.
Yeah. Derrick Rose, Kobe, Dirk, Steve Nash, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, AI, Shaq, Karl Malone, Michael Jordan, David Robinson, The Dream, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Moses Malone, Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, Bob McAdoo. I mean, I don't know who Dave Cowens is. That's a little bit before my time. Willis Reed, Wes Unseld, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, Bob Pettit, Bob Cousy. Like, and I didn't name all the multiple, you know, time winners and everything, but man, like you look at this list and then you have Jokic there, you know. I mean, that's just, were you able to hear me while I was
rattled? I did.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to go down to like Bob Pettit and Bob.
Yeah, McAdoo. Man. Like, you know, like, yeah. All right. I'll trust you on that one, Russ, because I said Dave Cowens. I don't know who Dave Cowens is. That's before my time.
He's a Celtic guy.
But he's like the one guy, like, on that whole list that I couldn't name, you know, like, really at the end of the day. So it's like, you know, you hear all those names, and Derrick Rose is the one, but he was sexy,
it's Denver. They're not a traditional big market. You know, it took a while for Giannis to gain steam. And you realize, especially like going through it this year, it's really like almost like a political campaign. There are MVP campaigns. Sometimes it's just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, LeBron is the MVP this year or Kobe or Shaq. But, you know, with a season like this, it goes up and down and he's just been there. He just doesn't play defense all that hard. But, you know, he played in all their games. He's worthy of the award. It's just like this. Oh, well, he's like, you know, obviously for me, it's like, listen, I know you can't sit games. You can't, you know, getting hurt, but it's kind of like, if you're saying, well, Embiid was the, you know, he was the clear winner, but then he got hurt. So he's just eliminated. It just doesn't sit right. Like, I get it. Like, listen, if Pat Mahomes is the, it's just like an example. Pat Mahomes is easily the MVP of this, you know, of the upcoming season, but he got hurt and he missed two games. Well, he's out. You're just like, wait. I mean, no, he missed an eighth of the season. It's a significant, like, it's not a nothing, but like, he's just done. He's out, you know? So it's like, yeah, man, you know, I don't know, you know, but hey, I'd rather get, like we said before, I'd rather have an NBA Finals MVP than the finals.
So, and I think that's what Embiid turned his attention to. You know, like at this point in time, why try and fight it? The best thing for you to do is get your body right heading into the playoffs. And that's what Tobias needs to focus on too. Those two right there. And then Ben is the key to all of this, all of this. And like, you know, we can say what we want to say, Diaz, about, you know, oh man, well, you know, when we get into that Eastern Conference Finals, he's going to be the one locking down Giannis. And he's going to be the one locking down Harden or Durant or Kyrie. Okay. That's great. But this 8 points, 5 points, 10, 11 points type stuff is not going to work. He needs to be more aggressive, more assertive, and he needs to lay his claim. You want to be one of the top players in the league, Ben? You have to show up in the playoffs when it matters most. And, you know, we have to see that. We've seen it out of Embiid. The Embiid last year was, what, 34 and 13 in that sweep? Even though they got swept, you could not question that Embiid was doing everything that he could to try and win. That's what Ben needs to do. He needs to be the big X factor. If he comes out and he plays well, the Sixers are going to the NBA Finals. You hear it right here, right now.
I saw a super interesting stat before we wrap up here. Shoot.
Yeah, Let's try and keep it clean.
Try and keep it clean. I'm going to get the actual number wrong, but it was like double. Like, oh, okay, I know what it was. In transition, Simmons has transition assists on three-pointers. Basically, you're running the floor, you kick it out to someone, you know, you kick it out to an open guy for three, they make the three. He's assisted on 146 transition threes this year. That's first place in the NBA. Second place is like 82. So he's like nearly doubling up the second place guy. He does create a lot there, and I'm okay with that. I want him to just go hard to the hole, go hard to the hole and get fouled. The jump shot and all that, and the 3-point, like, we don't need that from him. We need you to go to the hole, get fouled, get to the free throw line.
What's his free throw percentage this year, Diaz?
It was a tick up, but it wasn't anything like he didn't jump from 62 to 75. It was like 62 to 64 or something. Because
that's the jump, man. Me and you talked about it at the beginning of the season. Like, that to me is the biggest thing for Ben to improve on. Like, if you're not going to shoot threes, don't shoot threes. But he disappears in the last 5 minutes of games because he's scared to go to the free
throw. Well, he disappeared. I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not trying to.
No, I'm not saying he doesn't disappear. He doesn't disappear on the defensive side.
Yeah, yeah. He makes stuff happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But on the offensive side, though, and this is why George Hill is going to be a big addition, because kind of like what they used to do with Jimmy a couple of years ago. They would put the ball in his hands in the last 5 minutes because Jimmy could make the shot. He could create his own shot. Or he would go to the hole and get fouled, and then he would hit his free throws. That's the big part of Ben's game that's missing. Like, yeah, do I want the mid-range? Do I want the three-point shot? Absolutely. I think we all do, just so we can have it in his arsenal. But the fact that a guy that size that can handle the ball that well, if you're going to penetrate, you better be able to take the punishment and get your butt to the free throw line and drain your shots and make them pay for it. Otherwise, they're going to do it to you all the time, and they're going to put you there. And that's the reason why he kind of shies away in the last 5 minutes of games when it's crunch time. We can't afford that. He needs to get sometime along the line here. He has to shoot 70 to 75% from the free throw line. I'm not asking you to be Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to be Ray Allen. You don't JJ Redick. You don't need to shoot 90% from the free throw line, but you damn sure have to be competent enough to where we can trust you in those spots at the end of the game.
That's right. And even then, just getting the fouls is you're adding that they have to go to the bench earlier. It just hurts the other team. You know, go in there, you have to go to the bench earlier.
Yeah. You get them in penalty.
And that only helps it free up, you know, generally those are guys that are, you know, bigger that helps against with Embiid's off. It's just the floating away. He has been taking more jumpers, and to be fair to him, he did have a tip in. He was in the dunker spot, which was so annoying how he just hangs out there. It finally paid off for that win.
Are you talking about the buzzer beater?
Yeah, the buzzer beater.
Yeah, but what was that? His fourth and fifth points?
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not asking for 25
a night, Diaz, but I think if we can, you know, dude, in the playoffs, you have to give a 17, 18 for sure.
If he's giving 11 assists and has 8 points, I'm okay with that. No. If he has three assists, because his job is creating. His job is creating points, and it's sometimes it's points for him, but more often it's points for his teammates.
With that high basketball IQ.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole he creates more 3-pointers than anyone in the league the last 4 years except LeBron. I mean, that's like, well, that matters. He creates more than anyone else in the league. So anyway, good time to go out here. We're almost at an hour. The Sixers have 4 more games left. We want to win them all. Don't get anyone out there. Don't get bent out of shape if they haven't been looking so tight the last couple of games. This is how it works at the end of the year. Teams just they're trying to cruise to the end of the year. They want to win, but they're trying not to put forth all the effort and energy in doing so. It's just how it goes. It's not unique to the Sixers, but let's get a win tomorrow in Indiana. They're playing right now, and as of they were losing. And then we've got Miami on the road and close out Orlando. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be tailgating for the baseball brunch.
Yes,
for Phillies,
sure,
Red Sox.
Make
and,
sure you guys
Sixers
get the greenlegion.com. Yep. Make sure you sign up. Actually, we have a pretty cool surprise. Quimby called me with it earlier, but that's what surprises are for. So you'll have to tune into the show. But go to greenlegion.com. Make sure you sign up. It's $60 per person. You're going to have unlimited beer, stateside vodka, all the breakfast foods that you could think of from 9 until 1, which brunch, yeah, actually baseball brunch. So make sure you guys sign up. Come on out. I want a packed house for this show. I want to feel your energy, Murph too, and we want to go and have some fun with you guys out there. So make sure you sign up at greenlegion.com.
Big thanks to Bud Light for making this all possible. Tune in tomorrow, Tuesday night, May 11th at 6 o'clock for the Get Tanked Happy Hour. The big show, Green Legion Radio, on Thursday will be broadcasting live at 6 o'clock. It'll be our NFL schedule release review.
Will be on iHeartRadio, too, on Saturday from 1 to 3.
That's right. We're back at our regular time. No union soccer this weekend. So Thursday, we're going to talk everything from picking wins and losses, which is what everyone does. That's annoying, but everyone does it. We're going to have fun with that. But we're also going to talk about what the trips information that we can talk about at the time. And we're going to have a good time. So again, iHeartRadio mobile app, download, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. We will see you guys later. Peace.